have we got in the mailbag, Norman?
Well, Priya, it's not a Christmas surprise. It's from Simon. I was listening to your recent program on the use of CT imaging and the suggestion for more use of magnetic resonance imaging. I recently have had some ear problems accompanied by headaches, and my GP wanted to get imaging done to rule out a tumour and to check the integrity of the ear structures. He suggested a CT, and I expressed my concern about the risk and asked about having an MRI as an alternative. The doctor told me that if I wanted to get an MRI, it would have a several hundred dollar out-of-pocket cost versus bulk billed CT and potentially a wait. In the end, I got the CT that same day. I subsequently attended the Eye and Ear Hospital, who referred me for an MRI, which has a 10-week wait. I would love to be able to get an MRI as easily as I could a CT, but that hasn't been my experience. And we talked about that last week. In fact, you talked about the access issue.
Yes, and this is, I think, a conundrum that a lot of people don't realise, that if I, as your GP, write the referral for an MRI, unless it's in the certain eligibility criteria, and there are only four scans that we can order that are bulk billed, then otherwise you're facing a huge out-of-pocket cost, and it's actually better for me to refer you to a non-GP specialist who will then arrange the scan for you. So there is a serious access issue, and I think part of the discussion from your story last week was how do you improve access to MRI, which obviously doesn't have the radiation risk?
Yeah, it's inefficient. I mean, there are, I think, still what are called non-registered MRI machines around, which will do a cheaper MRI for you, but, you know, it's a very inefficient system.
It is. We've also had Rosemary write in, who says, I have non-small cell lung cancer, stage 4. The only health monitoring apart from symptom reporting seems to be the 3-monthly CT scan of head, chest and abdomen with iodine contrast and without in the skull. After the CT feedback on health report, could the same screening be done more effectively with MRI scans with less carcinogenesis happening? I'm particularly aware that your expert observed that protocols were not being met between radiology practice and lung lymph nodes. And so really what she's asking is, what is the best practice radiology for lung nodules and skulls and the double skull scan every 3 months? Should I be pleading for an MRI? Oh, this is very, very subspecialised now, is what my GP brain is saying, and I would go with the experts on this. But Norman?
Well, my understanding is that CT is the best, the best imaging technique for the lung. And remember, the risk from an individual CT scan is low, and it's over an extended period of time. And I think the point we made, and John DeCampo made it as well last week on the health report, is if you need it, you need it.
Yeah.
So, for example, if it's going to change the treatment of your non-small cell lung cancer, that's far more important than the small dose of radiation that you're going to get from the CT.
That's right. And in some cases, the benefit is very clear and there's not another way to actually monitor. So, look, I would defer to your practicing clinician, who I assume is a sub-specialist in this space. We do love it when you write in, so please do. Our address is healthreport@abc.net.au. If you want to send Norman a Christmas gift, that is where it should go to.
And don't forget our sister podcast, What's That Rash? And this week, it's Why Do We Dream?
Oh, I love that topic. I love dreaming. I'll see you next week, Norman.
See you then.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.